You know, the only place you hear the word prodigal is typically in the Christian community, right? Because it comes right out of Scripture where Jesus gives us that picture of a prodigal son and what that daddy did right and what that son eventually decided to do that was right and how it changed the whole family. We're going to continue this discussion on the power of prodigal stories. From yesterday, we got people wanting to talk to me. We'll get to those in a moment. Those that I've talked to in the past, stories that we have. And here's the intention for this half hour. We want to encourage those of you who have a prodigal in your life. It could be a son or daughter, might even be a spouse, to continue to pray. Trust God and not try to be the Holy Spirit. Okay? Dr. Randy here along with Jennifer and Stephen from our Intentional Living Center in Tucson, part of Intentional Life Media and Family Life Radio. We have a big mission. If you know anything about our radio ministry and our media ministry, as we're called Intentional Life Media, which includes publications and events and, of course, online and streaming and our radio stations, we're not just here to, quote, entertain. We certainly want you to feel that. We want you to be a part of it in terms of enjoying the music. But we go a little deeper because our mission is this. We want you to experience your life as God intended. And God did not intend for us to just every day live in a world of regret. And if you're a prodigal and you're listening today, there's something better for you. And it's not to have your mom and dad's faith, but to have yours, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that'll transform your life. And if you got the hang-ups from the past, and many of us do, I mean, that's just part of life, don't give away your future because of the past, okay? And that's our message. All right, we're going to get to our phone calls. Love to have you join us on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Alicia in Kansas, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Dr. Randy?
I'm terrific. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. What's your story?
Good. Well, I was calling because I have been the prodigal daughter, and I just kind of wanted to offer some words of encouragement to maybe parents that are listening that have a child that is going through this stage of life. And for me, thankfully, it was a stage of life, and I kind of wanted to just kind of talk about the creativity and just the love of our God, because he just brought me back in the most unexpected way. And
hold on for just a second, Alicia, before we hear how you came back, because we want to hear that. what do you think was going on? What caused you to say, hey, I'm going to wander here a little bit? What was going on?
So I think it mostly was some things that had happened to my sister. She didn't have the best childhood and experiences in church. She was kind of hurt a little bit. And so she was angry at God for a long time. And, but recently she's been thankfully kind of telling me she's praying again. And so that's a big encouragement too, that my sister was able to come out of this dark place.
But
too.
That affected but you.
Seeing that was hard for me.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it was really hard for me to see that with her, and I just didn't understand why God was not intervening or just, you know, stuff like that. And so it just kind of made me question things as a young, you know, teenager.
Well,
so,
I understand. And by the way, I hear a lot of these stories. I hear a lot of people who they've had bad experiences with Christians or the church, and that, of course, affects how they view even the relationship with God. It shouldn't, but it does. So what brought you back? What was it, your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So in college, kind of, I went to an art school, so that was kind of as liberal as you get, but I developed this love for the drink tea. I just loved tea for whatever reason, and God used that in his creativity and in his love for me to just, he planted a kind of ministry-based tea shop in where my mom and dad were while I was in college, and when I moved back home, I just didn't know what I was going to do. I was finishing up my degree. And so I thought, oh, well, I love tea. Why don't I go maybe volunteer at this place? And the people there were just so awesome. And it really just brought me back and made me feel the love of God again and not really question his love. And so I just think it's so cool how creative he can be and what things he can use in your life that you just don't expect at all.
Yeah, even a tea shop, right? Because it was not the tea, but the people there that loved on you and were Christians, and they just loved you back into the fold, as it were. So it wasn't mom and dad, it wasn't the church, it was these people at the tea shop who loved the Lord.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily a pastor, it was just being around good people. And just the crazy thing was just it all revolved around tea, like the most random thing, you know? So I just think that's so creative of him to just use that of all things.
Yeah, and it's a reminder too, Alicia, that let me say this to the parents. You've got a prodigal. You may not be the one to bring him back. In fact, we're being really honest. Sometimes because of the way we did things, maybe we helped contribute to them. I don't know. You know, I mean, we're people. Or something going on in the church. They see hypocrisy or whatever. And a lot of the stories are people who grew up in the church, sometimes ministry, families, and so on. But you know what? You can go to a tea shop and find some loving people who are willing to listen to you and talk to you, and you realize, hey, this is the kind of faith, this is the kind of way I want to live my faith in Christ, see. And so maybe one of the prayers we have to have for the prodigal in our life that we love is say, Lord, build a hedge of protection around them and help them find a tea shop where there's going to be some people that will love on them and tell them about Jesus, because clearly it may not be me. And pray that God will bring into their lives those that can make a big difference. What's your story? Share it with us. 888-888-1717. Mary's in Michigan. Hi, Mary. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for asking.
Appreciate it. What's your journey on this prodigal journey in life?
Well, I'm the youngest of four. All of us were raised in church, brought up in church and all. And, you know, we got older and went our separate ways and everything. My sister Misty, my brother Michael, and then me. My brother Michael found God years ago, and he always, you know, did Bible studies with us and everything. Anytime we go visit him, and my kids would say, oh, Uncle Mike, the preacher man. But he would try to. And, of course, I fell away from church and all that stuff and Bible. But I recently, 8 years ago, I was... It's like God placed everything in the 4 days to guide me right to his church, right to church. I was going because my daughter was having a lot of issues, so I was going for her, taking her there. And after the fourth service, it smacked me upside my head, and I started realizing, I'm not going for her, I'm going for me. And then I looked back in the days prior, I'm like, he put all that in my path to bring me to church. Not for her, but for me. And it has changed my life so much. I was in a dark place. I lost my brother in 2015, and a year later, his wife passed right after, and I turned ugly and everything. But, and now my daughter, she just was born again last year, and I finally got her into church. Now I'm praying for my older son, my son, and my oldest daughter now. I keep praying every day for him. God opens their eyes and guides them to him.
Amen.
That's all I can do.
Are mom and dad still around? Have you been able to reconcile or reconnect?
No, I lost mom in 2007. She was a Christian all of her life, and anytime I was around her, she would always say, you know, Mary Beth, you got to get back in the church. You got to get back in church. I'm like, am I? Well, you know, same story, pretty much everybody else has. But the key thing is I found an excellent church God directed me to. It's Bible-based, and we are equipping, loving, and going church, and it's awesome. That's what people need to find, a Bible-based church. They do not criticize you or nothing. We are a family-loved church.
That's great.
It's an awesome church. I don't think I could ever move away church. That's how much I love it. It's an awesome church.
Well, you're giving a plug. What's the name and where?
It's the River Bible Church in Rockwood, Michigan.
Okay, very good. Yep. And so if there's someone looking in that area, you might check it out. Listen, I want to camp on what Mary said, and then we're going to take a break. It sounded like maybe Mom and Dad didn't see the restoration of their relationship. And some of you, maybe you've been praying for that son or daughter for 35 years, and you're saying, I'm going home to heaven pretty soon here, and God, you got to do something now. Listen, his timing may not be yours. And you may not be here to see what he can do in the life of your son or daughter as they get older in life. But what I heard from the call from Michigan, from Lisa, or from Mary, rather, was that Mom and Dad just keep praying. They just kept praying. They kept praying. But it was a church, going to a church. You know. And did you hear it was because something going on in her daughter's life? You hear me teach at Intentional Living, and I believe this, and I've seen this in my own work that I've done with people, is that often people get to a place to say, we need something different in our life, either as an aha moment, where they have this epiphany of some sort, reading the Bible or the Holy Spirit speaking to them, or something happens, and they kind of say, wow, I'm on the wrong path, or they have an oh no moment. Death of a child, alcoholism, an accident, medical issue, whatever, realizing, hey, there's got to be something different in my life. And so that's why we pray two things for our kids, the prodigals or grandkids: build a hedge of protection that whatever happens, it won't be permanent. And secondly, a hedge of thorns that they won't find any pleasure. Whatever you need to do, God, to bring them to you, just do that, because I give them to you. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Imagine two different people. Both love God and want His will for their lives, but one of them lives a life that's wrapped up in worries, fears, and the challenges of the day, while the other wakes up to an intentional life that's free from those burdens. In Dr. Randy's message, Intentional Living Will Change Your Life, you'll learn 5 steps to living an intentional life in Christ and how your life can be transformed.
We believe that when we understand God's intention for our life, not only is God given the glory for it, but our lives are better for it.
When you support Intentional Living right now with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Start the new year off right by living intentionally. Give now, and you'll get access to these helpful resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, I want to give you a high five for those of you doing that today, because we really appreciate your prayers and, frankly, the support keeps the engine going. And as you're able to give and do it on an ongoing basis, wow, even better, because then it becomes a consistent monthly, $1 a day, $30 a month, or whatever God lays on your heart, all goes into helping us reach more people through Intentional Living here, Intentional Life Media. What do you do? Call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. That's our number here, 888-888-1717. And then press number 2. That'll take you to our team upstairs. Love to talk to you, pray with you, and sign you up and say thank you for joining the team. Or you can go online, safe and securely anytime, at theintentionallife.com. Teresa is in Arizona. How you doing, Teresa?
Yes, thank you. I'm doing well.
Appreciate your call. What's your story?
Well, it could be a long story, but I'll make it short. So interesting that you were just talking about, you know, the parents and reconciliation and how God does that. because my part of my testimony is how God healed my relationship with my parents in bringing me back to Him. And I was raised Catholic, and I know my parents dedicated us, all of us kids, to God, the God that they knew. But I was very rebellious in my teenage years, and everybody in my family had gotten married but me, and I was in my 40s before I got married, and my parents were getting older, and they were like, oh my gosh, you know, I just knew that they were, there was a lack of peace with them, and not knowing mm-hmm. that I was like married or taken care of, if you want to say it that way. But anyway, God, I came back to the Lord. I came to the Lord in my 20s, but I kind of wandered away, and I really came back to Him in my 40s. And God brought me back from Colorado. He moved me from Colorado back to Arizona to be with my parents, and I didn't even know why. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought I was moving back for another reason. I was going to go back to school and stuff. But in that time, He absolutely healed my relationship with my mom and my dad. It was mostly my mom, mm-hmm. because during that time, she had surgeries, and I was able to be with her and my dad. And she actually said, oh, my gosh, you're an answer to prayer, because I didn't, you know, I just didn't know what we were going to do. And there was this this break in our relationship that I wasn't even totally aware of. But God gave us this precious, precious time mm-hmm. together, and healed that relationship with my mom, and then subsequently with my dad. And then, long story short, but, you know, in a few years, I got married, found my husband, and got married. And God it's just what God does in bringing you back, in bringing you back to His heart, mm-hmm. is so much bigger than just that. It's, you know, how He heals those relationships in your family, the reconciliation, the, you know, just, it's kind of that ripple effect. So that's my story.
Well, you were fortunate you were able to reconnect with mom and dad, and it sounds like you've reconnected with God through Christ. Are you involved in a fellowship, a church where you're growing now?
Yes. Yes. Good. Yes, we are.
So what do you say to someone tonight who is, or today, who might be listening and thinking, boy, that's what I would like. I'd like to reconnect with my parents, but they haven't called me to come and help. Should they take the lead to pick up that phone and reach out to reconnect with their mom and dad if they can?
Absolutely. And it really starts with, you know, your relationship with the Lord, and just, you know, asking Him to, I mean, reconnecting with Him first, and just really knowing that, you know, yeah, you take the lead. Pick up that phone call, whether you feel like it or not, whether you have anything to say. I mean, just, you know, let them know you love them. Thank your parents for however poorly they may have mm-hmm. raised you. You know, they did the best they could. And, I mean, unless it's, you know, abusive and stuff, but just start that relationship.
That's good advice. You know, the dad, the prodigal in the story, we don't know why he left. We don't know why he took his fortune and left. I mean, there's really not a lot about the story. Clearly, there probably was some stuff going on with the siblings, because the good one stayed back, and he was the good boy, right, who later wasn't so thrilled about the bad boy getting all the goodies when he came back. So maybe there's some jealousy. Come on, this can happen in families, jealousies. I don't fit in. I'm different. But it was the son that decided to come back. Dad didn't chase him. And you might be that son or daughter today. And for whatever reason, you turn this station on or listen to this podcast. You don't even know why. And you just heard it from Teresa. The first step is to say to the Lord, I'm done chasing whatever this stuff is I'm doing. I'm done doing it my own way, and I ask you to come into my life. Fill me with your Spirit, and then give me the courage to be intentional and starting to rebuild this life, getting plugged into a Bible-believing church, listening to this station. Maybe I just found it for 10 minutes. maybe take it the next 30 days and allow the music and the teaching, the things you hear to build your life, get plugged into a church where the Bible's being taught? It wasn't an accident that you found the station today or to hear these stories. You know, one of the, speaking of stories, Story from Missouri wants to share about how a prodigal can impact the whole family, you know, to understand that this isn't just about one person, because there's so many people involved in the decisions we make and how they can impact everybody around them.
My name is Story, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of my story about my daughter. At the time, I was married to my ex-husband, and he was a preacher of a church. And when our daughter turned about 13 years old, she just began to give us so much trouble. We couldn't do anything with her. She was being arrested. She was drinking. We couldn't keep her at home. She was sneaking out. It was horrible. I just really got to a point where I did give up. I gave up on everything, and Satan really just attacked our home. He attacked my marriage. He attacked my daughter. I just got to a point where I was worrying. I was sick. I was depressed. She was just such a precious little girl to me, and then it was just all, I just felt like I lost my daughter. And I just didn't know if we'd ever get past it. I tried to have everyone in the world talk to her and witness to her. And that was when she was 13. She is now 21. She doesn't drink. She doesn't do any drugs. She holds down a job. Very sweet girl. And, you know, she did stray for a while, as the rest of us also did too. But she's back. We're all back. And she's just being blessed, and I'm so blessed. I don't even have to worry about her anymore. But it wasn't until she just decided she was ready. And I just praise the Lord that he brought us out of it.
We also believe that success is measured by direction, not by wealth. Success is measured by asking the right questions and not always appearing to be right. By doing the next right one thing and not by staying busy. By taking personal responsibility and not blaming others. It's the direction of our life. Every day needs to be filled with one goal, at least one thing. And I put my little wristband on again this morning that says one thing. And as I do, I pause briefly just long enough to think about what one thing today is kind of at the top of the list. What one thing today would help me be most successful in what God has given me in my work or my family. And if every day is filled with at least one thing, it'll be transformational in your life. That's an excerpt from the teaching, How Intentional Living Can Change Your Life. And it can. And we appreciate those of you who are helping us see that when we are intentional in our walk with Christ, it's really super transformational because we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for your support. Find out more about intentional living at theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com is the number. Let's go to Christy in Tennessee. I understand you were a prodigal, Christy.
I was, and I just want to encourage parents. I have a 17 and 14 and 5-year-old now. So I'm praying that that situation doesn't.
Does that make you nervous because you look at your own past?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much. It does. It's a regular prayer that I pray.
Well, tell us what happened in your life. What'd you go through? Why do you think you got off track, and what happened?
When I was a child, I was raised by my mother. I have a 2-parent home, but one parent was emotionally, mentally unavailable. So it's, my mother is spirit-filled, and she did the best that she could. I experienced some molestation growing up by 2 people outside of the family, and those 2 events set me on a path, coupled with a father who was basically had emotionally abandoned his kids to just on kind of a hard road, a lot of self-loathing, self-rejection, a lot of unworthiness, a lot of lowly brokenness. And I found myself as a teenager in a lot of turmoil, spinning around in the turmoil. And I wasn't allowed to self-destruct. My mother kept me so close, I wasn't allowed to do anything that would cause myself harm. And so when I did actually get out on my own, you know, like a lot of us, I shouldn't be alive. There's several car accidents I should have died in. There's several drugs and alcohol and circumstances with people who had, you know, no good intentions by any stretch. And just all of the things that life can bring us, the enemy wants to use to destroy us.
Well, what brought you back?
What brought me back was a pregnancy. So at 19, I got pregnant, and I heard an audible voice from the Lord that said, I want you to give up your child for adoption. And I was surprised at my reaction, because I did not want children. And my reaction was to break down into tears. I was very confused by that particular circumstance. And so I went on a search to find out what was happening inside of me. And that search led me to understand that God is sovereign, and that sometimes we are stupid. We do stupid things. The search, you know, the search really never ends. That was almost 17 years ago. My oldest is 17. You know, I'm a spirit-filled Christian now who is pulling her own family, trying to, you know, pull that weight now.
What a story. Thank you for wrapping up our stories today. And there's been a theme today and yesterday. If you missed yesterday, by the way, I hope you go back and listen to us in our archives on this same topic. It's not just taking kids to church or being a Christian family or in ministry. It's loving our kids, listening to them, protecting them, sharing God's love, and understand that they have to come to their own conclusion. Ultimately, are they going to follow God or not? If you have a prodigal today, keep praying like crazy. I'm Dr. Randy. Thank you for being a part of the Intentional Living Center, along with Jennifer and Stephen, the rest of the team. Thanks to those of you praying for us and financially supporting the ministry. We can't do it without you. So from all of us here at Intentional Living, God bless you. We'll see you next time from our Intentional Life Media Center.